Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Chunk of the revenue that the state generates is not paid by Florida residents. It's paid by snowbirds and visitors and tourists. And isn't that the way you want taxation to go? Offload as much of the burden to non-residents as possible so that we can relieve the burden on our residents. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Would you believe me if I told you that there was a fight between the governor and the House of Representatives in the state of Florida again? Would you be surprised to find out that DeSantis has been complaining about the legislature and the fact that they don't want to do, he says, they don't want to do his reforms to property taxes. Instead, they want to offer some piddly little cut to sales taxes in the state.
I have a philosophical, issue. If you come and you're a tourist from Canada and you visit Florida, you can choose to buy what you want and purchase what, it's voluntary, right? So when you're paying the tax, there's a voluntary element to it. Most of the essentials that people need, like food and water, are not taxed under Florida sales tax anyways. So you can go, you can decide to go on that vacation to Florida knowing that you'll have to pay different taxes for your purchases.
So you remember the governor, kind of had said, and everybody kind of said that they'd like to, consider the possibility of getting rid of property taxes. Then the question, of course, is how will local government raise all of its money that it uses to pay for everything? The answer is most likely some kind of a higher flat sales tax, a sales tax that would be, much more substantial than the one we've got right now, which the local is like, what, 2 cents, 2%? The state one is 6%, if I remember correctly. It'd have to be much higher to offset the loss of revenue from, homes. But, of course, the philosophical argument is property tax is fundamentally unjust because you never own your home. If you buy a house, you don't buy a house. What you do is you have a billion-year lease. That lease comes with the terms that for any given 3 years in a row you don't pay your taxes, your lease expires. And your home is subject to being sold off to the highest bidder. So it's not ever really ownership. It's always only rental or leasing. And, that's philosophically problematic. So what else could be done? Well, that's what the governor has proposed. That's what the House and the Senate say they're interested in exploring anyway. But then at the beginning of this year, the House said, okay, we got $5 billion we can give you in a sales tax cut of 0.5%. Now, in negotiations with the Senate, it looks like that's been whittled down to 0.25%. It's not a lot of money per household, depending on how you slice the math, 50 to 100, maybe 150 bucks a year. So it's not an awful lot compared with what the governor is offering, which is not a property tax reduction per se, but instead would be a rebate check after the fact to anybody who's a homeowner that paid or a homesteader that paid property taxes. They'd issue you a check. It's not a reduction in property taxes. It's an offset or a payment after the fact for property tax, kind of relief of a sort.
When it comes to owning your home, though, for some reason, they don't give you a choice in that. You own your property, you own your house, and yet you got to perpetually pay, which is effectively pay taxes, which is effectively rent to the government just to be able to live on your property. If you stop paying the property tax, they could take your property. And so that's wrong.
So he's basically saying that, look, I like the idea of a sales tax because we make the visitors pay, the outsiders, the foreigners, the infidels. He never said infidel, but he did say some other words. It was kind of interesting. Whereas if you do a property tax, cut, basically, you're helping the locals. If you do a sales tax cut, you're helping the locals and the infidels. And we don't want to help the infidels. You think I'm joking, but the way he used the word Canadians yesterday, he could have just as easily been saying the infidels, the foreigners, the illegals or the whoever. I mean, I don't know. It was a really weird, not yesterday, sorry, it was on Wednesday, but it was a very, I pay attention to language, partially because, language is the, carrier of thought, but also because in philosophy, we always teach that there are a variety of ways that people can reveal that they are engaged in spurious or unsound reasoning. One of those ways is by using prejudicial language, loaded language, we call it. So if somebody shows up in an argument and they are consistently using exaggerations or flamboyant descriptions or words that just seem that they're pushing at the boundaries of factuality for an emotional effect, you become sensitive to that and you realize, or you perceive that, well, there's an agenda here to bias the conversation in favor of an outcome rather than to really explore the evidence. And I will say I heard that in this speech. It sounded very much like the more we can just say Canadians and snowbirds and foreigners and tourists, which he said again and again and again, the more you'll just be on DeSantis' side, essentially.
And philosophically, it's not the way you would want to raise revenue. You would much prefer to do it on consumption, particularly when we have 142 million visitors who come to Florida and are able to contribute to the coffers.
Yeah, and again, the idea being that if we can make the immigrants from within the United States or from Canada, pay the taxes, then it's the burden on their backs rather than the burden on the homeowners. And he also laid out a case for why the local municipality, the county, the city are taxing you too much. And, you know, that's not good. They've just raised and raised and raised their budgets because they've lived in a time of plenty when, you know, home values and business and rental values have gone up. And so they were collecting more and more ad valorem. And so, you know, local budgets have bloomed. Now, I think that the local folks would not disagree necessarily with the numbers, but disagree with the analysis that this is somehow inappropriate.
I think what you've seen is you go back the last 4 or 5 years, you've seen big growths in these budgets that really outstrips population growth by a long, long shot. And so the question is do they need to be spending that much money? Do they need to be taking money from you in property taxes to fuel increase in budgets?
Okay. I don't know what's going on in South Florida. I don't know what's going on in Central Florida at the granular level that I'm familiar with it here. But yeah, I mean, the budget has grown faster than the population, but that's because of inflation. Like, that's, you know, if the county takes, gosh, I don't even know what the number would be. I guess I could figure out the number. It's an $800 million budget and there's 300,000 of us. So let's say it's, $2,300 a person. That'd be it. That's just super quick math. I guess it'd be $2,600 a person, okay? Okay. Meaning that if we increase by 1,000 people, then we should increase by 2.6 million. But we've actually increased by 4 million instead. Well, yeah, because it's expensive to do business these days, and firefighters cost more than they used to, and police cost more than they used to, and roads cost more than they used to. And if you keep the per capita number the same, it means that you're actually getting less and less per person in terms of value. It's $2,018 versus $2,025. So I'm going to sort of stand up a little bit in defense of our local governments that they're not just squandering this money. Now, they might be squandering this money, but I know of the struggles they're dealing with. And, you know, look at the cost of projects. Everything that they do costs double what it did 5 or 6 years ago when it should only cost, you know, 20% more than it did 5 or 6, 30% more than it did 4 or 5 years ago, something like that.
Most of these budgets, if you just went back to 2019, 2020 levels, you wouldn't miss a beat on a lot of this stuff. I mean, you really could get the job done.
We're going to roll back the budget to 2019 and everything's going to be fine? Tell that to Escambia County firefighters. Tell that to Lifeguard in Santa Rosa County. Tell that to the Santa Rosa and Escambia County Sheriff's Office or the, you know, Pensacola Police Department. What happens if we roll back our budgets to 2019 is we don't have any cops anymore. We don't have any EMS and firefighters anymore. We don't have any teachers anymore. For goodness sake, he's been, you know, raising the price tag on teachers, right? Which is good because otherwise they go somewhere else. And it's just, it's a weird argument, right? It's an argument that seems to display a lack of comprehension of what's really going on at the local level, at least here. And I have to believe that, you know, Miami and Orlando and Jacksonville are experiencing similar problems. And so it's weird to be attacking the local governments as though they don't know what they're doing. And I will tell you, from talking to the local governments and talking to your commissioners and your city council members and your local representatives, and particularly the ones who are in local government, they feel like the Florida government, it basically doesn't understand them and says, screw you a lot, and gives them things to do that they don't fund and takes away sources of revenue and not replacing them. Like, they feel like they're squeezed by the state a lot. And I think they are, too, based on, you know, the things that happen. And so this notion that somehow these counties are doing it wrong, well, I don't think it's the counties and the cities that are doing it wrong. I think it's the state. And this perception that somehow local government is terrible, which, you know, again, I pay attention to local government. I don't think it's terrible in the way that DeSantis thinks that it is. And then he's got kind of this idea that we give away a lot of these special tax breaks and that's somehow good. And if you've listened to this show for any period of time, you know that I despise these things. You know, the paperclip sales tax weekend, you know, it's like, it's just, you know, we're going to have a discount this weekend. It's going to be arrows and fire extinguishers and Hershey bars. You know, it's just, oh, John got excited. Sorry. Arrows and fire extinguishers and paper napkins. Less exciting, right? You know, it's just, it's absurd. Like, why is the government picking and choosing specific products and times of years to give away sales breaks, sales tax breaks on these things, unless the state government wants to feel like the king in the castle and be, oh, here, peasants, here's a dispensation for this weekend, or here's a special kudos. Can't you feel grateful to us for we gave you cheap gas this weekend?
On back to school tax holidays, we're proposing for this summer to do a marine fuel tax holiday so that you can fuel up your boats without having to pay a tax on the fuel, as well as a Second Amendment summer so that you can buy what you need for Second Amendment activities without tax. And there's a whole bunch of other things that irons in the fire. But we've done billions and billions of dollars in tax relief, and I think people appreciate it.
Well, I don't. I would rather have broad-based, consistent tax relief. I don't need a gun sales tax holiday. That's stupid. I mean, why do we need to make it so that the weekend of June 8th is the weekend that everybody can go out and buy tax-free guns? What? That looks to me like the government trying to buy people's goodwill because they're too dumb to realize that the government is trying to buy their goodwill. I mean, to me, that's what it looks like. So I don't agree with any of these special sales tax discount weekends or whatever. Like, you know, we're having, it's like Memorial Day sales or whatever. You know, you can get your special products. Just give people tax relief across the board and then let the market decide what things people want to buy instead of artificially saying, you know, hey, here we get paper supplies and here we get guns and there we get marine fuel or whatever. So his proposal is, let's do a little bit of tax rebating now and let's do something on the ballot in 2 years when we can actually dramatically affect property taxes.
We're going to build to do a property tax relief on the ballot in 2026, which is really how you have to do it to do a constitutional amendment to provide protections for homeowners.
And I'm a fan. I am absolutely a fan. As long as we come up with a serious proposal of what we're going to replace that income with, because obviously local governments need it. Okay. But I would love to see Florida be the only state in the nation that has no income tax and no property tax. I think it'd be amazing. Fantastic. But I don't understand really the reasoning behind why you have to wait for then to do anything. Because, and by the way, I don't love the House proposal either. I think the House proposal is a little bit silly. You know, I think the governor's actually right that, you know, nobody's really running around asking for a 0.5% reduction in the sales tax. Like, it's just kind of not a thing. I don't know where it came from. I'm not quite sure what it benefits, but I don't think anybody really wants that. As a homeowner and a homesteader, I wouldn't mind getting a rebate check. Just don't call it a property tax reduction because you're not really reducing property tax. You're just paying me off in a different way. But then he started to get into this whole business of why they're doing this and how the House hates him and they're all politicians and they're all opposed to this kind of persecution narrative that he's had recently ever since he made these blunders regarding UWF and, you know, then he, you know, and also the Hope Florida Foundation thing. And remember when he came to town and he attacked Alex Andrade and Michelle Salzman when they weren't available to, couldn't even send people into the event to defend themselves. Like, he's got this idea that somehow these wicked, horrible, terrible people in the House of Representatives are the problem.
There's folks in the Florida House of Representatives, if you followed how this has gone in the legislative session, when I propose something, the leadership there, they just reflexively oppose it. I mean, that's their view. Now, they didn't run on that. They ran on our agenda, and they seized power because of us. They wouldn't have a supermajority if it wasn't for us. And yet they're there just trying to stop, you know, good progress.
I view the House as finally exercising some of its constitutional obligation to be a check and balance person. That's how I look at it. That doesn't mean I always agree with the House. I certainly don't always agree with the governor, although I'm historically a big fan. Recently, he's gone off the rails. But this notion that it's somehow just petty personal politics, well, sir, could it not also be petty personal politics in response to them, right?
Reason why, I mean, look, I think that they are more, the leadership in the House is probably more sympathetic with more of the open borders, but part of it was they didn't want
what?
Me to get a, quote, win. That's how these people think. They're not trying to do your business.
What?
They're pursuing their own personal agenda. They have vendettas. They have these things. And so that was a really telltale sign.
Okay. I know there is definitely animosity between the leadership in the House and the governor's mansion, for sure. But is that because they just have these petty personal vendettas against him, or is that because he's done dumb things that they've pushed back on, and then he's gone out of his way to attack them unreasonably and hasn't answered questions about the dumb things he's done? Like, just because there's bickering doesn't mean that one side's wicked, right? So anyway, we'll see what comes of this. Of course, we'll be talking with Alex Andrade this morning at 6:35, get his perspective, his reaction to all of this. Again, I'm not a super big fan of the sales tax cut. The governor thinks that that they're cutting sales tax now, so there won't be any money left to cut property taxes later, which is, I imagine, a really dumb argument. You can cut or eliminate property taxes and raise sales taxes naturally. His argument is that there won't be enough in reserve at that point because we won't have been taking in enough surplus over the years. But if you're paying people for owning a home, a $300 to $1,000 check, that's depleting the surplus too. So I don't really get his reasoning on all this. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you're thinking about a next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years old, low miles, great condition. They're going to warranty those to 100,000 miles or 10 years. And you can check out as many as you like. One of the advantages of Frontier is they have a lot of different options right there in one place. You don't have to go driving around town and meeting 14 different salespeople and then trying to remember which salesperson showed me which car and did I like it or didn't I like it. It's all right there in one place, and they make it very easy for you. Simple. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
If you need to hire, it seems like the whole process can be exhausting. You search resumes, wait for the right candidates to apply, set up initial interviews. It's a lot of time and work. Well, what if you could meet with qualified candidates for your job the very next day? Now you can, with Zip Intro from ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. Zip Intro is super easy to use. You simply pick a time, and it does all the work of finding and scheduling qualified candidates for you. Then you can choose who you want to talk to and meet with great people on back-to-back video calls as soon as the next day. Best of all, you save time and energy.
Try Zip Intro for free right now at this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. Zip Intro. Post jobs today. Talk to qualified candidates tomorrow. Once again, go to ziprecruiter.com/free to try it for free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Excuse me, I think you forgot my bread.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2? But everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you.
All my friends are heathens, take it slow.
Good morning, 529 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Somebody says, yeah, getting rid of property taxes would be great, but then all the Californians would move here. No, that's actually a real concern, is if you make it too appealing. I had the thought of, well, if we get rid of property taxes, then all of these investors are going to snatch up all the No, they're only going to do it for the homesteaders. So that kind of prevents that problem. It'll still definitely try to bring people here, which is, we don't need more. Although we have obviously tapered off a lot since the COVID inflight or exodus. What's the opposite of exodus? I don't know the right word. I'm going to have to look it up. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Well, the conclave didn't take long. The white smoke rose yesterday, and they picked Cardinal Roberto Francis Prevost as Pope Leo XIV. Church historians say that he must have quickly impressed his fellow cardinals during the conclave process.
Did you happen to listen to any of the announcement of him coming out on the balcony and talking to the people?
I saw when he came out on the balcony. I didn't see
much
past that.
Yeah, I thought it was a really nice way to pay homage to him and Chicago. Basically, the guy came out and said, "Da Pope!"
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa, the first ever American Pope Robert Prevost. Now, Pope Leo XIV celebrates his first Mass as leader of the Catholic Church, addressing the College of Cardinals.
You have called me to carry that cross and to be blessed with that mission.
Fox's Alex Hogan in Vatican City.
This is a celebratory Thanksgiving Mass inside the Sistine Chapel. All of the cardinals gather over the success of the concluded conclave and the election of the new leader of the Catholic Church.
He was born in Chicago, the new Pope's brother, John Prevost.
I think he will, in some ways, be a second Pope Francis. I think he has a strong inclination to help the poor.
And Russia marking the 80th anniversary of the defeat of Nazi Germany in World War II with a massive military parade in Red Square. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 71 degrees. Here in Pensacola this morning. Corey Middleton's been appointed as the new head coach of Pensacola Catholic Baseball. He's taking over for Richard LeBounty, who retired after 36 years. Middleton was an assistant coach for 7 seasons. He says he plans to uphold the program's tradition of excellence and bring that team back to the Final Four. He was a former Escambia High School player and a minor league athlete with the Detroit Tigers, says he's committed to fostering collaboration among their players. Well, Miami's Archbishop is hoping the new Pope lives up to the legacy of his predecessors. Thomas Wensky talked yesterday after the Vatican named Robert Prevost as the new Pope. Prevost will be called Pope Leo XIV. Wensky says Pope Leo the Great held back the barbarians when Attila the Hun tried to sack Rome, and Pope Leo XIII outlined the rights of working people and the idea of justice in the world. Wensky says Prevost's name choice should say a lot about who he plans to be. A man hurt after being shot by police in Marion County. Ocala police say that officers were chasing 3 bank robbery suspects yesterday when their truck rolled over and they landed in a retention pond. The OPD says an armed man got out of the truck and was shot when he refused to drop the gun. He was taken to the hospital and is expected to survive. Senator Rick Scott wants to review what he's calling President Biden's ridiculous COVID vaccine mandate. Scott joined some colleagues in introducing the RESTORE Act yesterday. It would require the Defense Department to create a board to audit how the Biden administration handled service members' religious accommodation requests during the COVID vaccine mandate. Scott says the mandate punished American heroes, and he wants to make sure that every service member who lost their livelihood has a chance to serve their nation once again. A 96-year-old man died after a traffic accident yesterday morning. It happened on Highway 29. Officials say it happened near the intersection with Hood Drive. FHP saying the 96-year-old man was driving south. He made a left turn in front of a sedan driven by a 33-year-old woman. He died at the hospital. The 33-year-old was also hurt in that crash. Well, Escambia County wants your input on two proposed roadway concepts as part of the South Navy Boulevard Improvement Plan. The one-mile corridor extends from Barrancas to the Sam A. Lovelace Bridge and serves as a key gateway to NAS Pensacola, supports nearby neighborhoods and businesses. Commuters and residents are encouraged to help shape the future of that road by providing feedback at an open house meeting next Wednesday. That'll be May 14th from 5 to 7 at the Lexington Terrace Community Center on Old Coryfield Road. Letter carriers are collecting food tomorrow. All food collected will stay local.
This year's Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive is scheduled tomorrow. Escambia and Santa Rosa County residents can participate by leaving non-perishable food donations at their mailboxes for the letter carriers to collect. Donations will benefit local food banks and pantries in both counties. The effort will help ensure that families in need have access to nutritious food. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Chris. It is 5:35. Let's get our Channel 3 forecast with Rick Richardson.
We are going to be seeing some showers and thunderstorms, especially as you go later throughout the day today. About an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 78. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65. For Saturday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 79. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 71 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of semiconductor manufacturing International Corporation, China's largest contract chipmaker, have fallen nearly 7% after its first quarter earnings missed estimates. The company reported a first quarter revenue of just over $2.2 billion. This is up 28% from a year earlier. Meanwhile, profit attributable to shareholders surged 162% year over year to $188 million. Both earnings figures missed LSEG estimates. Affirm, the provider of buy now, pay later loans, beat on third quarter earnings and met expectations for revenue. The company's revenue forecast for the current quarter trailed Wall Street's estimates. Gross merchandise volume increased 36% from a year earlier. Pinterest shares rose 15% in extended trading after the company reported first quarter earnings and provided better than expected guidance. The social media company said second quarter sales should come in the range of $960 to $980 million. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Bad boys, what's
Good morning, 5:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy Friday. Happy Navy Days. Navy Day is going on today, tomorrow. There's a parade tomorrow morning. It's going to be fantastic. Still haven't gotten word if we're going to have the ships down at Plaza de Luna. I think that's been the plan. I just haven't been able to find out confirmation for that. But tomorrow morning, there's this parade going on from 9th Avenue and Veterans Park and go down Bayfront to Palafox and south to Plaza de Luna. Find out more information at PensacolaNavyDays.com. Great concept, the idea of Navy Days, by the way. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, as we typically do on a Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So I know we don't want to say it out loud too much, but we've had, several weeks now where low incident of high interest, high news crimes, which is good, right? We celebrate that, right?
Yeah. What we talk about mostly on these shows is major crimes. And we've been it's been a while since I've had anything to talk about, which is a great problem to have. There's lots of other cities our size and even smaller that have no problem coming up with radio content on a weekly basis.
Right.
So it's a great problem to have.
I will take it. It's certainly a good thing. One of the things you have seen is an uptick in e-bike and e-scooter thefts. Is that right?
Yeah, we have. So if you've an e-scooter, an electronic bicycle, anything electronic, you need to keep an eye on it. Put it up. Some of these cables that people are using to secure them to bicycle racks are just not good enough anymore. These people that are going around looking for these bikes specifically have cutters that will cut right through these cables. So there needs to be a better way to secure those, thicker chains maybe, or putting them inside. And certainly another thing that would help is to put a tracker on them. So we have seen an uptick in those thefts lately.
Are the I know that the cable feels secure, but it's not. What about those like Master Lock U, the big black bar type locks, the two piecers? You know what I'm talking about? They're like a like a club for your bike.
Yes, that's better. Anything that's thick that would be difficult for someone with a device that would cut through cable or chain. I mean, if a person wants it bad enough, there's plenty of things you can get at a hardware store that's going to cut right through it. But the thicker it is, the better it's built. It's going to take more time to do that.
And this is interesting to me because this is in contrast with when we talk about cars. The advice is locking your car is enough. They're not going to bother breaking the window when there are unlocked cars to go to. But when it comes to a $600,000-$700,000 e-bike or something like that, they're willing to go to the trouble instead of going to the next one to try to find one that's unsecured. Is that right?
Well, yeah, there's a difference there because we preach to lock your cars because they're not looking to steal the car itself. They're looking to steal what's inside of it. So, with the bikes, obviously they're going to steal the whole thing,
yeah.
And they're out looking for these. There's a market, there's a market to sell those. So, there's a bit of a difference there on why people are stealing e-bikes versus getting into cars.
I know this is not related to that, but you got me thinking about this all of a sudden. Do we have e-bikes or scooters for the police? I know we have bike cops, but is that a mode of transportation that you guys use or are thinking about using for, like downtown or at events or anything like that?
Yes, we do. In fact, we've got one, a huge one out at the airport. I was just out there working last night and was looking at that thing. And I got to tell you, I'm not going to get on it anytime soon. It's hard to call them a bicycle anymore with the size of them, the size of the frame, the size of the tires. And
yeah.
But the answer to that question is yes, the PPD does employ e-bikes.
I look at these things and, I'm a traditional bicycle rider and, of course, a driver. I find the e-bikes very frustrating because they don't quite go fast enough to be regular traffic, but they often pretend like they're regular traffic and they're often not in the bike lane, not on the sidewalk, that kind of thing. Have we seen incidents because of that, or are people basically just taking account of it and driving around them safely? It seems to be all the time now, by the way.
Yeah, we haven't seen a real big problem with it. It was
okay.
The same thing when we had the scooters come to town.
Sure.
There was initially an issue with that, but most of the people on bicycles and e-bikes are maintaining lanes and going by the law. Of course, you're always going to have people that don't. And when we see that, we will stop and educate people.
And the safest rule is give them 3 feet, right? That's the basic, is you got to give somebody 3 feet if you're going to pass them. And you can't always pass them. Sometimes you just can't. When it comes to, I know they've been, you know, Channel 3 has been featuring the story. Studio 850 has been doing the story a lot on the school zone speed cameras in Fort Walton. I actually saw those myself about a month ago, and I didn't think a lot of it at the time, but I guess they just went active. We do have the buses have do not pass me cameras on them in Escambia County, or at least we're implementing that. But we don't have anything like this in Escambia. Is it something that you guys are looking at as a possibility?
Not at this point. That's something that could be in the future, but not at this point. Right now, we're concentrating on the red light cameras. Those are labor intensive as far as having officers look at each and every event to see whether it was an actual violation or not.
Right.
And if we went to speed cameras, which, again, that could happen sometime in the future, but that, again, is something that an officer will have to look at each and every violation. So at this point, no.
General assessment. I know passing school buses is an amazing problem. It is bizarre to me how many people do this on the right, on the left, all over. Anyway, how much of a problem in the city of Pensacola is speeding in school zones?
Oh, it's a problem. It is a problem, and especially when school first starts or when they come back from vacation or any time of any kind of break. But yeah, that's an issue that we deal with. We have a traffic unit that goes and concentrates on those areas at different times, and it's surprising how many people will fly through a school zone or pass a school bus, which is an extremely dangerous thing to do.
Mike, I don't know how familiar you are with this incident that took place up on Highway 97, where an ECUA truck was driving north and turning left onto a cross street in a two-lane, like a highway with dotted lines, basically, a rural highway. And a semi came behind him, passed him on the left while the ECUA truck was turning, and the ECUA, and they collided, and one person was injured pretty badly, but the ECUA truck driver, the trash truck driver, actually got cited for somebody hitting him, coming behind him, and on the left. Now, I know you're not FHP, but I know you know the law, and as I read the law, you have to yield to a car coming behind you and passing you on the left if they're legally allowed to do that. This seems insane to me. Can you explain this, or am I wrong about the law?
No, I mean, you have to, anytime you're making a left turn, you have to make sure that you're not cutting in front of somebody that's coming at you. And if a vehicle is allowed to pass you, like on a dotted line, you have to also make sure there's nobody coming around you. And I can see an issue with this is because people will, they see that it's a garbage truck and they constantly pass them every day because they're on their route. They're constantly stopping and people going around them. So, again, I don't know exactly what happened in this case, but I can imagine if the driver of the log truck thought this vehicle may be making a pickup or whatnot, decided to pass him. But either way, before you can make a left-hand turn, you've got to make sure you're clear to do so both in front and behind you.
Okay, I actually see that scenario, and certainly with a trash truck, it's a little bit unique because he might have been going slow and making pickups or whatever, and I agree with you. People pass trash trucks all the time on the left. But I'm thinking not so much for the trash truck scenario, but like me as a driver. If I'm on some highway and I'm turning left, or maybe there's cars behind me that are waiting. I mean, if they go on the right, that's normal. It may or may not be legal, but it's at least normal, and it's not going to produce a collision. But if I'm waiting to turn left and somebody just decides, I'm sick of waiting for this slowpoke, and they decide to pass me on the left as I'm preparing to turn with my signal on, that's my fault if they hit me?
Now that's a different issue. That vehicle's trying to make a left turn, so you can't just pass them on the left in that situation. That's why I brought up the trash truck. I can maybe imagine why a pass on the left was happening in that particular situation.
Okay.
But either way, you still, as an operator of a motor vehicle, you've got to make sure that you're clear all the way around before you make a left turn. So seeing a situation, if it was a passenger vehicle, how that could be certainly be a different situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that I just can't wrap my brain around. I mean, I've been driving for 38 years. It never occurred to me that when I'm making a left turn on a rural highway, that I need to check behind me to make sure some doofus isn't going to try to pass me on the left because he's got the right of way. Like that, what? That can't be right, you know?
You're not. You can't pass a vehicle on the left that's stopped trying to make a left turn. That's a totally different situation.
Okay, because I actually got told by FHP when I followed up on this that a turn signal is a request, not a right. And I can see that in certain circumstances, but when I'm turning and somebody's coming behind me, it feels like a right that they don't have to run into me from behind. But okay, all right. So I'm glad to know that that's it's not quite as bad as I thought it was. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, this is about online reports. A lot of departments have gone to this over the past few years, including the Pensacola Police Department. And there are some incidents that cannot be reported online. And the reason we brought this on to begin with is to make things faster for the people that have had issues. And also it keeps our patrol officers on other calls, not answering these minor issues. So if it's a felony, you cannot report it online, such as a sexual assault or a battery where you know who the suspect is. Those things cannot be reported online. What can be reported are minor thefts and maybe some fraud, things like that. So if you know who the person is, if your loss is more than $750, which makes it a felony, these are reasons why you cannot report online. You must have an officer come out. Also, if there's evidence, if your car was broken into and there may be fingerprints on the car, you don't want to report that online. An officer needs to come out and look for evidence and process that car. So there are some things that if you're in doubt, you can always call dispatch. They can let you know what's reportable online and what is not.
Very good. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thanks for the time, helping us understand the law better and keeping us safe. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
So I did some follow-up on this, and I actually talked with FHP about this yesterday, and it's bad. Like, the law is bad. One of the things I learned, and I know this is probably not, you think, doesn't come up all that often. I asked, and they said, no, it actually comes up pretty routinely. People do have these kinds of crashes. It's not that rare. It's fairly common. So if you are driving, like, let's say I'm driving a car, and I'm on a rural highway where there's a passing zone, and I turn my signal on and I slow down, and somebody decides that they don't like what I'm doing, they're impatient, they don't see my signal, whatever. If they move over into the oncoming lane to pass, and then I turn and they hit me, it's my fault. Now, I was told, FHP says, it's a lot of times up to the judgment of the investigator on the scene. And basically, their rule of thumb is, if they hit me in the front of my car, it's my fault because they were passing and I turned into them. If they hit me in the rear of my car, then it means I was turning and they passed into me. You follow? But the idea that it's that small of a difference between car position of over who's got the right-of-way is crazy to me. I mean, I was told that, you know, you have to check behind you to make sure that you're not unintentionally impeding someone who's legally passing you while you're getting ready to make a turn, which is, I mean, it's crazy. So that's a law that needs to change. You know, legislators need to I was actually told that putting on a turn signal doesn't obligate the person to do anything. It's a request. You're not entitled to go. John, this is bad, right?
Yes, like this is really bad. And we've been talking about it. And the more and more I think about it.
It's crazy.
It is.
And it's I don't know
because
that it's
don't
like
know
this
what
in any other
they're
state.
Going to do. Are they supposed to put on their turn signal saying, hey, I'm going to pass you now?
Well, they are. But you don't. Who sees that? Because when you're making a left turn.
When can we see it?
Yeah, you're not looking behind you. You're looking in front of you at right. The oncoming traffic. The imminent threat is oncoming traffic.
And if they're passing you on the left, you don't see their left turn signal.
Right. Because it's
the request to pass you.
Yeah, it's wild. And yet this is, I mean, if you read the statute, it's actually in the statute. It's phrased this way. So this is a law that needs to be changed. Again, I talked to FHP yesterday, and they said, yep, we write tickets for this. Again, it's not an all-the-time thing, but, you know, Jason King, I was the guy I was talking to, and he said, yeah, this actually happens pretty frequently around the state. Because I asked, I said, this seems pretty unusual. It's like, more than you think, it happens.
That's crazy.
I know. Can you imagine you're trying to make a turn, you get ready to go, here's how he kind of put it, okay? He said, and there's some impatient and he was very diplomatic. He
person.
Didn't swear, but, you know, some jackhole decides that he wants to pass around you because he doesn't want to wait for you to turn. You're being too slow for him. He says there are situations where he might have the right of way. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. That's the law? He said, that's the law. And wow. So I know we got a lot of, you know, legislators and politicians listening to this show. I'm asking you to change this law. This law needs to be changed. This is a crazy law that it's written this way. Again, I get it that in certain circumstances, a slow-moving ECUA garbage truck that sort of isn't paying attention and then plods its way to the left, I get how that could be a problem. And I can come up with other scenarios where it could be the person who's making the turn poorly. I could see it. But the way this is written right now, I got to look behind me to see if I can make a left turn. That's nuts. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you are considering the possibility of selling your home, buying a home, picking up a rental, a vacation, or a short-term, or a long-term, or maybe a beach house, or you want to downsize, upsize, just change locations, whatever the case may be, typically the way people do this is you make a decision, you evaluate all the factors, you talk about it with your spouse, you make a decision, right? And then you call a realtor to implement that decision. I have a suggestion. Use the realtor earlier. Call Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty before you make the decision and let her help you make a good one so that you can then implement it effectively. Instead of getting committed to kind of a problematic path that you have to revise or change altogether after you've invested so much into it. Basically, get better information before you get invested is my recommendation. She and her team sold 165 homes last year, 175 homes the year before that. They know this process. They can help you really understand in a comprehensive way what's going on in our market. And, you know, figure out what you're trying to accomplish and what's the best way to accomplish it. 786-3996, 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Quite an experience to live in fear, isn't it? That's what it is to be a slave.
That's kind of interesting. I got a completely opposite text here. One person says, Andrew, I think you're blowing this completely out of proportion. The law is exactly fine the way it is. If I am turning, I'm departing from the lane of traffic, and somebody who is properly and legally passing me on the left shouldn't have to accommodate my departing from the lane of traffic. Somebody else says, if I have my blinker on and somebody hits me like that, we're fighting on the side of the road. I'll wear bracelets and eat peanut butter sandwiches till I get bailed out. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy unveiling a plan to upgrade the air traffic control systems across the nation. During a news conference Thursday, Duffy said he'll be asking Congress to grant upfront appropriations for all of the money needed to update technology and equipment, which he said would be a 3 to 4 year long effort. That overhaul is expected to include new telecommunications, new radars on the ground, sensors for tarmacs, and flight management system to improve efficiency in the airspace.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next hour, the Transgressors Memorial Service. Find out how Catholicism fared, as Catholicism itself may have made our service. Plus, of course, we'll talk a little bit about, was there a development in Catholicism yesterday? There might have been some news.